Now at McDonald's, get a $5 McChicken meal deal or a $6 McDouble meal deal. They come with small fries, a soft drink, and four-piece McNuggets. We're going to need a bigger tray. Get more value with your meal deal with McValue.
Prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher for delivery.
The Vox Markets Podcast. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome back, everyone, to Vox Markets. My name is Paul Hill. I'm delighted again to be able to speak to CEO Sarah Barrington of Verici DX, a next-generation medical diagnostics firm focusing on the global kidney transplant market. So big welcome, Sarah.
Glad to be back, Paul.
Yeah, well, the weather's coming out, so it's fantastic to speak to you. But big congrats as well on last week's in-line FY 2025 results and positive outlook with Q1 sales increasing 32%. So maybe we can start there. I don't suppose you could just quickly remind the audience what's been driving that impressive top-line growth.
Yeah, I mean, we've had the resources from the last round to expand the commercial team, and we're seeing the benefit of that. I think, you know, we've been quite clear that we think that each salesperson takes about 6 months to really come on, be educated themselves, understand their territory, where they're targeting, and to open up centres. Centres take a while to open up. So what we saw in the first quarter was the results of that. Obviously, we closed the funding kind of halfway through the last year, and had said that we wouldn't expect those new salespeople to have the benefit into last year. But we did hit the targets of last year, not quite on point, but close enough. I think we're down to rounding errors. But, you know, essentially, we saw the momentum continue last year. But what we really saw from this quarter was the benefit of our new invested, expanded commercial team. And I'm thrilled for them. It's great to see people be successful in their roles. And I think that's what we're seeing here.
Yeah, well, you've certainly been punching above your weight there. I know we chatted last time, you mentioned in that, hopefully that's the first 6 months, you're going to start getting sort of champions of those transplant centres. Is that sort of like coming along as planned?
It is. You know, we look to every territory to have a kind of lead early adopter. That's important for us in several ways. One, obviously, just numbers. But secondly, what we're really looking for are centres that have clinicians that are likely to go and, you know, present on our part. You know, we've said constantly the best kind of marketing is that peer-to-peer kind of education, which we saw at the last conference. And obviously those that want to go out and present and publish on what we call real world evidence. There, you know, when you're in diagnostics, you do what we call a validation trial that says, okay, the performance really is there. We've tested that and we did that some years ago. But really what's compelling for people is to say, okay, that is, you know, a controlled trial, but what's it like in my hands? What's it like in real life? You know, with and our trial was throw the kitchen sink at it so that it would be very equivalent. And what we're seeing from real world evidence is the test is performing better than it did in trial, because people are using it in probably the most advantageous areas. You know, we've said before that third of the market where we really operate as an entry point, we're seeing very high performance there, and clinicians are thrilled with its performance and presenting on that. So when we go back to each territory as we expand, we're looking for centers that are likely to do exactly the same, which supports them as early adopters, and it supports us with that kind of real world evidence. So absolutely thrilled by that. Loving seeing the team identify those leads, hospital centres, and be successful.
Yeah. And just in terms of the actual volumes, I know it's difficult to be too precise on this one, but you're starting to see an inflection point with those sort of the diagnostic tests of TUTIVI, because you had a very good first quarter. And then just a few words on how you see the rest of the year going with those volumes.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, healthcare in this area, it's not an elective process. So you do have to be conscious that you are responding a little bit to underlying trends. And we did see transplants go down this year. And it's a little bit of a time for reflection. And I think we'll see that kind of recover later on in the year. I think we saw people n not going down that route as much because of maybe the economy, maybe the war. And I think the industry is sort of having some discussion. But despite that, we still are continuing to grow. I think, obviously, any condition that's sort of very close to that surgery will be impacted by that. But we offer advantages further down the line. I think, for example, the management of the BK virus that can happen at any time. It's not necessarily just like post surgery for some of the other conditions. So I think I was very encouraged to see the company continuing to grow, and I think we're very confident about being on track for that full year number that we've put out as a projection. So I'm encouraged by what we're seeing from the growth of the company.
Good. And then just in terms of getting to sort of like, break even, is that dependent on doing another funding? Because I did notice in your statement at the full year that the board was indicating that there was going to be some more cash needed to be raised towards the back end of the year to then further inflect the business and get it to its break even and profitability.
Yeah, I mean, I think the nice thing about this company and its stage is that we've got a clear line of sight now. We did all the kind of growth milestones, which, to get to the commercial sale. And I think, getting that Medicare coverage last year was highly significant for us. It's not enough to sell your product, you've actually got to get paid for it. That was a very significant milestone for us. But really, what we said from that point is, okay, it's rinse and repeat. We did a full year of revenue, great. We showed the growth this year, great. And we can very much see that line of sight to profitability now. Did we raise enough money to get there? No. I think what we were hearing was this desire to kind of tranche that investment as we go. Fair enough. That's a strategy, and that's what we're looking to do. Hopefully, obviously, the growth in the underlying company will be enough to support that that kind of strategy of tranching as we go. And we do see, and we have a very clear plan on how to get to that growth and how to get to the profitability. So I think we're in a very different stage now, as I've got, less growth and now more revenue and profit discussion. So less of even being a healthcare company, really. We could be selling any kind of product because really that's the kind of metrics we're looking at and judging our commercial team on.
Yeah, you've certainly hit all your milestones. Another one, actually, on your milestones, if you just to say a few words, is that New York State certification. What's the significance of that for the business in terms of its coverage entirely, say, for the US?
Yeah, it's interesting. So New York State have a much, much higher bar for approval than any other state. And in fact, they have been recognized as a proxy for the FDA. They're always going to come later. They're always going to do more diligence. And you have to sort of produce evidence to a much higher level. When the FDA were looking to regulate this area, what we call lab developed tests, so what's covered by CLIA at the moment, there was a move by FDA to regulate that area themselves. They didn't really have the resources to do that. And in fact, in the transition plan, they were looking for anyone that had New York State as using that as a proxy. So I think it sort of goes to the fact that this kind of common no knowledge in the field is that that's a much, much higher bar. So the fact that we got it obviously adds to your credibility point, but practically, it adds a huge market to us. So, out of the 28,000 transplants, 2,000 of those are just done in New York. So, you know, being able to access that market. Now, we had a transition element to that where they allow you with so many tests that you can individually approve whilst you're going through that process. And we had done that. But nobody likes doing that. And you know, it is a quite a high burden to be able to have to say, okay, I've got a test in now, I've got to get that one test approved, so on and so forth. And the hospitals don't like that either. So for us, this is going to open up the floodgates of that area because the credibility is high, the ease and the logistics are now much lower, and I think everyone's got the confidence to now really address that market, and we're very excited about that.
Yeah, and another milestone is the strategic agreement you have with Thermo Fisher for the Petra test, the pre-transplant test. Can you just say a few words on how that's progressing?
Yeah, I mean, I just to remind everybody that Thermo took that way, way earlier than they ever do. And I think that was testament to the significance of that test to them as pre-transplant diagnostics company. You know, the test itself has no competitors. So let me just take a tiny step back and just remind everybody, in pre-transplant, there's kind of three elements to think about. You've got the organ itself, and there are tests around that. You've got the patient, but there was no tests, and that's what Petra addresses, is the patient response, and there's nothing else like that. And then there was what we call the compatibility between the organ and the patient, that's HLA. And that's where One Lambda, which got bought from Thermo Fisher years ago, don't ask me when, a long time ago, really excelled. They had launched that idea of the HLA, the compatibility test. They have tests on organs, but they recognized that the third leg of that stool was covered by Petra, and there was nothing else like it. So in which case, they snapped it up very, very early, incredibly early for them. They took it right out of the validation trial. Normally they like to see, you know, commercial traction first. So it was a huge compliment to us that they recognized the importance of that test, and also the fact that it was done well. They don't pick up anything. Obviously they then wanted to do some pre-education. They did that. They've looked at some of the trials. We've talked about that, that you need to do to kind of expand the indication. But one thing they were waiting for was the publication on the validation trial. Now, with such a novel new technology, the bar is higher, and it took us longer. We have a number of, I think we have something like 12 centers behind that publication. But also, the evidence needed to convince the clinical community that it wasn't just a fluke. Was also high. So it took a little time to get to the publication. But that happened recently. I think it was April, May time. Apologies, I'm not quite precise with that. But nevertheless, once it was out, how you launch a diagnostic is you then take that to centers. They do what they call journal clubs, where they review with their colleagues that publication, discuss it. And then that's kind of your first indication of interest. Then you go for early adopting centers. You know, you're looking for those centers that will lead the charge, bring the real world evidence to back to the marketplace, and that's how you roll out. It's quite a long process. We've done it ourselves with Tutivia. Everybody recognizes that. But in the meantime, we have been working closely with them, and in fact, the last conference again, we did a joint marketing effort, which is very encouraging for us. You know, David and Goliath coming together to talk to clinicians, but the underlying technology is the same. It's just that the signatures are different. So there is a merit to that, and I love the fact that they're now moving on to that kind of identify the early adopting centres. Are also prepared to go in with us, you know, two centers, and do a joint activity there. So I'm excited about the progress of that test.
When do you think the hard launch is going to be of that test? Because it sounds as though it's a bit of an education at the start to get people on
Yeah,
board.
you know, it's a sort of combination when you're doing that. It is a hard launch, but you're right, it is still looking for early adopters, and that may be somewhat softer than business is normal. We did it ourselves. You know, when I look at how we rolled out to Tuttavia 23 and 24, really that kind of find your early champions, that early adopting centers, and then of course we saw the benefits of that in 25. So I would say, you know, at the moment you're looking for you know, launching to it's still a launch to those early adopting centers this year, but you're looking for them to use it, to get that evidence, and maybe report back. The Super Bowl of conferences is always in June, halfway through the year. I'd love to see them, you know, clinicians presenting at that conference, you know, with their evidence. So, you know, and then with healthcare, it's an exponential growth. You know, at some point you have that tipping point and you see that. So, you know, we've been very clear that they did pick it up early. They still continue to support it, and you know, we still see that strategy of kind of moving forward.
Good. And then the third and final test, which is the procedure one, which is a sort of like a much further down sort of post-transplant sort of
That's
test.
right.
How's when's that going to sort of like start being
Yeah, we project
commercialized?
at the end of the year. You know, obviously, we slowed down that at the request of investors. They didn't want to put as much resource into it. Fine. It just slowed it down, but didn't stop the progression. We managed to fulfill the 2-year outcomes in the trial, and you know, it's just on the work stack right now in the pipeline. Very much, there's a lot of interest in that test, and we do believe that we'll have a faster path to launch on this one than Tutivia, just simply because we're going to go after the research market first. I think there's some significant interest in progressing drug development in that area. Plenty of the developments kind of stalled. That usually means that you need to segment your patient population, which means you need a precise test. And
Good.
we hope that we're it, and that we can address that market. In diagnostics, you're only ever as good as your so what. And being able to promote the so what of therapy is an important step for us clinically. There are certain things that clinicians can do if we launched it today. But we believe that going after the research market first is the most efficient way to address that market.
Well, given you've actually hit so many milestones, is there any opportunity at all to license some of the technology out overseas, outside of the US, or is it all approvals or and how do you see it
No,
anyway?
I mean, I love the fact that we already proved that case, right, with Thermo. We licensed it out. There was interest in taking it very early. We know there's going to be interest in Protega. The question is, do we license it out or not? You know, that's a strategic question that we'll answer when it arises. You know, make a decision based on facts rather than assumption, is our philosophy. But there's definitely going to be some interest in that area. Timing and amount is TBD.
Good. Well, I'll be looking forward to hearing some news or anything like that. Would be fantastic. So putting it all together, how do you see the sort of the rest of the last sort of the rest of the 6 months, the rest of this year sort of shaping up for investors? What are the sort of the further key milestones you would sort of highlight to investors?
Yeah, I mean, I think we've just been asked to do rinse and repeat. You know, can you grow? Yes. So let's do it. And then progress. I think when we said we had a clear line of sight to revenue growth and to profitability, just proving that point that we're marching our way there. Even with limited resources, we continue to grow. And you know, I've been very clear that we're not seeking to build the entire commercial team out of equity dollars. We'd like to get to a point where, yes, we grow at the moment through equity dollars, but we're not going to do the full national rollout with all the people that we need. We're going to fund that out of operational dollars further down the line.
Yeah, good. Well, it does sound as though you're on the same path as hopefully England is with football coming home, because the diagnostics is coming home to you guys with a bit of luck. Anyway, thanks a lot.
I love that, and I can promise you that I won't launch in Norway then, because we might get stopped there. But you know, we do wish the England team an awful lot of luck.
I know. Thanks a lot, Sarah, and look forward in touching base in the next few months.
Great, thanks, Paul.
The Vox Markets Podcast. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.